Now, if we're honest, really honest, we probably agree a little bit with Han Solo. There's a reason that Han is, you know, the rugged cowboy type who gets the girl, because I think he's the person that, in a lot of ways, folks can identify with. And what he says a little bit earlier in this same scene is, kid, you know, this strange old-fashioned weapon and a hokey religion is no match for a good blaster at your side. You know, Han is the realist in this scene. He's the one who wants, he wants the evidence. He wants to see what's going on. And if you've got some strange, unexplainable thing, oh, that's just luck, or that's just strange and hokey. We don't want to be like Luke, the dreamer, or Obi-Wan, the sage. You know, we're kind of a little bit of Han at heart. We're kind of a little bit of a realist bunch at heart. And so maybe we can understand Thomas a little bit, and we don't blame him too much. I think Thomas was just sort of a modernist who happened to be born a couple millennia too soon, because he fits right in with the modern age and the scientific revolution, right? I mean, Thomas just wants what any good scientist wants. Show me your evidence. Demonstrate what you're saying. I just need a little bit of proof. I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're dumb or anti-intellectual or anything like that. But, you know, you're asking me to buy quite a bit here. I need to see a little bit of evidence first. I think, though, like Thomas, and maybe like Han, we can rely a little too much on our senses. Your eyes can deceive you, Obi-Wan says. Don't trust them. And we can also rely a little too much, in general, on the world around us, the world outside us, telling us what to do, what to be, who we are, who God is, telling us what to believe. You see, when we come from the position that seeing is believing, then what we see and what we kind of interact with in the world around us can begin to radically inform what we believe. And I think, now it's pretty easy to say, there are people in the world who, but I think when we're honest that we all have these moments when we look at the world around us and we let it tell us what to believe about ourselves or about God. So for example, I think we talked about this a little bit in prayer time today. When we look out at the world and we see a place that is filled with violence, and we see people who are greedy and corrupt, and how that has poisoned our culture, poisoned our world. When we look out at the world around us and we see it on the brink of destruction because of things that we've done to it, and you know, the air is getting more and more polluted, and we're going to run out of energy and of fuels, and you know, it's a scary thing out there. But the mistake comes when we look out at that. We look out at the world around us, and then we let that tell us what to believe about ourselves. Because then we begin to believe that we are violent and greedy and destructive people. And we begin to live in that belief. Or worse, we let what we see out there in the world tell us what to believe about God. And so we've heard the argument, and maybe if we're honest with ourselves, we've been a bit tempted by the argument on our bad days, perhaps. That with the world this much of a mess, can there even be a God? What kind of God lets that happen? What kind of God lets violence and corruption and destruction have their day? What kind of God is that? There must be no God based on what we see out there. Or, if there is, that God must be a cruel being to let such things happen, or to create a world in which this is the norm. See, when we start with seeing is believing, when we start with that, we are letting the rest of our experience out there dictate what goes on in here. At our most center, most foundational, most sacred core being, we are letting that tell us who we are, tell us who God is. That's the mistake. That's where our eyes are deceiving us. And we should not trust them. Jesus gives Thomas another option when he says that those who believe without seeing are blessed. Jesus presents a different way. Instead of seeing is believing, the new idea is believing is seeing. what we believe, what we know about ourselves and about God, that informs and contextualizes what we see and experience in the world around us. We begin with what we know, with who we are in our heart of hearts. We begin with what we believe about God. When we start from a position that there is a God who is love and life and abundant life, when we start from a position that we are God's children and that we are beloved by that God, then that transforms what we see. In some ways, that helps us see better. For Luke, when he closed his physical eyes and trusted what was inside him, he saw better and was better able to interact with the little training exercise he was doing because he wasn't distracted by the stuff out there and he was listening to the force in him, which is Lucas speak, I believe, for God in him. When we start from our core, from our center of who we are, God's beloved, of who God is, the source of life and love and all that is in the world, then when we look out on a world filled with violence, we see also the great need for redemption, the great hope for peace. When we look out on a world filled with greed and corruption, we see also the justice that lives in us, that rubs and chafes against that corruption and that injustice. We see also the compassion and the selflessness that some people show in the face of and in opposition to the world's greed. When we look out at a world filled with destruction, perched on the brink, it seems, of slipping into some abyss, if we've started from a place that God is love and life and we are God's beloved, then we see again the opportunity for new life, for hope in the face of destruction, for eternity in the face of death. Because we have started from a different premise. We have not let the world around us dictate who God should be, or who we think we should be, or who we think we are and what we're worth. We've let God dictate that. We've let our inner experience inform our outer experience instead of the other way around. We've changed our foundation. In that, I wonder, if we can't see Thomas in a different light, if maybe what Thomas wants is not so much proof. Note that it never says that Thomas actually does touch Jesus and put his fingers in the nail holes and put his hand in Jesus' side. It says that he sees Jesus, and he certainly wants that physical assurance, but it doesn't actually say he does that. He sees Jesus and he comes to believe. Maybe what Thomas actually wanted was what all the other disciples got, his own encounter with the risen Christ. And maybe Thomas was, at his most honest and his most vulnerable, ready to let that experience, his own personal experience of the risen Christ, change him and give him a new center. A new sense of who God is, of who the risen Christ is, and a new sense of who he, Thomas, is because of that. So that then Thomas could, from that place of having his own internal and external, but his own unique, authentic experience of Jesus, then he could perceive the world around him starting from that place. We can't know that about Thomas, because none of us were there, but I would like to think that what he's seeking is his own experience rather than simply letting those around him, even though they're right, letting those around him tell him what to believe. He needs to know it for himself. And in some sense, we all need to know it for ourselves. Now, we're not going to get to walk up to Jesus and touch him and put our fingers in the nail holes in his hands. We need to trust what's in us. We need to trust our experience. We need to trust what we believe about God. That is in our heart of hearts, where we stand when we are most confident in who we are as God's children. And when we live and we act and we look around from that place, we see the world differently. And what we see is that we see God is all around us. We see life is all around us. We see hope. We see the gospel story around us. Because we have started from the place that we believe in a God of love and life, and we believe that we are beloved. And our believing becomes the way in which we see. And so, For those who've remembered, and if you haven't, that's okay. You don't flunk, and you get more chances because grace abounds. But for those who remember to bring in a picture or a representation of what calls to mind God's presence in the world around you, I'm going to invite you to come on up and to, we have some tape here, and to tape it onto our beautiful cross up here as we begin to put together the places we see God around us when we've started from the premise that we live as the children of a loving God. I believe we see God everywhere because what we believe becomes what we see.